Thank you for standing by. This is the Chorus Call conference operator, and welcome to the Brookfield Business Partners 2016 second quarter results conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touch-tone phone. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Craig Laurie, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Laurie.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for Brookfield Business Partners' 2016 second quarter conference call. With us today are Cyrus Madon, our Chief Executive Officer, Joe Freedman, Senior Managing Partner, and Jaspreet Dehl, our Senior Vice President of Finance. I would at this time remind you that in responding to questions and in talking about new initiatives and our financial and operating performance, we will make forward-looking statements, including forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable Canadian and U.S. securities law. These statements reflect predictions of future events and trends and do not relate to historic events. They're subject to known and unknown risks, and future events may differ materially from such statements. For more information on these risks and their potential impact on our company, please see our filings with the securities regulators in Canada and the U.S. and the information available on our website. We're pleased to report that Brookfield Business Partners' spin-off occurred June 20th, and our units are now trading on both the New York and Toronto stock exchanges. We generated company FFO totaling $58 million for the quarter, compared to $41 million in 2015, as the results benefited from the increased contribution from our construction services segment, the contribution from the acquisition of our Western Australia energy operations at the end of the second quarter in 2015, and realized gains from the disposition of a portion of our investment securities. We reported a net loss attributable to unit holders for the quarter ended June 30th, 2016, of $33 million, compared to net income of $8 million for the quarter ended June 30th, 2015, primarily due to an impairment taken at our graphite electrode manufacturing business related to a repositioning of the business that we had planned at the time we acquired it. Our construction services segment continued to perform strongly and generated company FFO of $25 million during the quarter, compared to $17 million in the second quarter of 2015. We continue to expand our operations globally with 13 additional projects compared to the same period in 2015. During the second quarter of 2016, we signed over $1 billion of construction projects in Australia and the United Kingdom, including six residential and commercial developments and one mixed-use project. Our current backlog is over $7 billion, which translates to a weighted average of just over 2 years of activity across approximately 100 projects. Our other business services segment generated company FFO of $15 million during the quarter, compared to $14 million in the second quarter of 2015. The increase was primarily attributable to our facilities management operations, where we benefited from new contract wins from earlier in the year. Our energy segment generated company FFO of $17 million for the quarter, compared to $2 million in the second quarter of 2015. The increase in our results was due to the contribution from our acquisition of our equity accounted oil and gas operations in Western Australia in June 2015. We substantially contracted our Australian oil and gas production at the time of the transaction, and therefore were not significantly impacted by underlying oil and gas price weakness. In addition, we realized gains on the disposition of investments in energy-related securities. These increases were partially offset by lower performance from our Canadian energy operations due to a weak pricing environment. Our other industrial segment delivered company FFO for the quarter of $2 million, compared to $8 million in the second quarter of 2015. The decrease in company FFO is due to a negative contribution from our graphite electrode manufacturing business and lower results from our metals and mining operation. Comparative results for 2015 do not include our graphite electrode operations, as the acquisition was completed in August 2015. The decrease in company FFO was offset by gains realized on the sale of equity securities and an increase in the contribution from our bath and shower manufacturing operations as a result of new product sales and cost reductions. Moving to our balance sheet, as at June 30, 2016, our assets totaled $8.1 billion. We benefit from a strong balance sheet and ample liquidity with $500 million of undrawn lines, and approximately $260 million of cash at the corporate level. Our net debt to total capitalization at June 30, 2016 was 28%. I'll now pass the call to Cyrus to speak to our strategy and growth initiatives.
Thank you, Craig, and good morning, everyone. As Craig described, our business service operations have had a positive start to the year, and commodity markets, which have been a headwind for our energy and other industrial segments during the first half of the year, have recovered modestly from earlier lows. Our business benefits from global scale, a strong balance sheet, and ample liquidity, which positions us well to capitalize on opportunities. Our goal is to acquire and manage businesses with high barriers to entry, low production costs, and the potential to benefit from Brookfield's global expertise as an owner and operator of real assets. Our investment objective is to generate long-term returns without taking undue risk, and we seek overall returns of between 15 to 20% on our investments. The performance of a number of our businesses can vary with business and economic cycles, and we expect certain of them to have some volatility in earnings. We also buy underperforming or distressed companies which we believe can be turned around through operational or financial restructuring or through other management initiatives. Such businesses generate minimal or even negative earnings at the outset, but have the potential to generate substantial gains over the longer term. In essence, we are happier earning a bumpy 20% return instead of a steady 15%. Our graphite electrode manufacturing operation, GraphTech, is an example of an acquisition we recently made that generates little to no cash flow today, but believe will have a very profitable outcome for us. Graphite electrodes are used in the steelmaking process, and specifically for electric arc furnaces, in the developed world. In the developed world, EAF, or electric arc furnace steelmaking, is far more efficient than making steel with blast furnaces, which is the conventional method of making steel. Blast furnaces use iron ore, metallurgical coal, and other ingredients in the steelmaking process. EAFs, on the other hand, melt scrap steel using a high-voltage electrical current delivered from the graphite electrodes. We, along with our institutional partners, acquired GraphTech for $1.25 billion in August of last year during the worst pricing environment in 15 years for the company's core product. In addition, GraphTech was over-leveraged and needed to raise capital. Our plan was and continues to be to refocus the operations on its core graphite electrode business, drive operational improvement by concentrating production at the lowest cost facilities, reduce corporate costs, improve product quality, and sell non-core assets. Since acquiring this business, we've reduced annual operating costs by about $50 million and believe we can generate at least $50 million in additional annual operating margin through further cost reduction and production efficiency. We believe the combination of our operational improvement plan, electrode industry rationalization, and an increase in EAF utilization rates should enable GraphTech's results to improve substantially. If this investment works out as planned, we will have acquired GraphTech for 4 to 5 times our view of normalized EBITDA and earn an attractive return on our investment. As previously noted, we have flexibility to invest in multiple industries and by form of investment, meaning we may acquire debt or equity securities or provide financing to companies in addition to making acquisitions. This is important as it broadens our investable universe substantially and has been one of the core components of our previous success. Earlier this year, we took advantage of the sell-off in high-yield debt and acquired debt securities at attractive valuations in a number of energy industrial-related businesses with high-quality assets and solid long-term fundamentals. Our view was that we could make investments that may ultimately lead to potential acquisition opportunities and generate attractive returns in the event sentiment was to recover. Given the recent rally in both energy and the broader U.S. markets, our investments increased in value by about $60 million. We exited a portion of our positions during the quarter, realizing a gross gain of approximately $30 million, with a net to Brookfield Business Partner unit holders of approximately $10 million. We may also buy our units back from time to time. Today, we announced that the Toronto Stock Exchange has accepted our notice of our intention to put in place a normal course issuer bid. While any purchases of our own units will be balanced against our available liquidity, as well as our other opportunities to deploy capital accretively, we believe it is prudent to have the flexibility to acquire units when appropriate. Our longer-term goal is to create new operating platforms which we can grow over many years. As an example, our facilities management operations were started by us approximately 20 years ago, and we now are the leading player in Canada and Australia with a foothold in the U.S. This business has a strong track record of growth, and given the global presence of our organization, we believe that this business can continue to grow for many years to come. This business today looks after over 300 million square feet of premises globally, and we've been rapidly growing that number. In furtherance of our strategy to expand the global footprint and scale of our facilities management operations, we secured two long-term contracts, global contracts, and executed two acquisitions at attractive valuations. This includes acquiring a U.S.-based data center facilities management company, marking a key milestone of our entry into the U.S. market. In addition, we entered into an agreement to acquire a Canadian facilities management business with approximately 50 million square feet of managed real estate. While these acquisitions are relatively modest in size, they'll assist to increase the scale, reach, and efficiency of our operations and increase the value of our business. We are continuing to look for other best-in-class businesses which we can acquire with management teams that wish a home to execute their business plans on a permanent basis. What we can offer management groups is the stability which we bring to ownership, capital availability to grow, and global relationships. This doesn't mean that we will never sell these businesses. It merely means that our tendency is to hold for longer periods of time, and usually we sell when our management teams decide it is the right time to sell a part or all of a business, not when they are forced to sell by some outside influence. Our target for these acquisitions are family-owned companies where one owner may need liquidity, public companies where short-term investors want to compel management to sell the company, or carve-outs from broader businesses. Should you have any ideas for us, we would welcome the opportunity to discuss those with you. So that wraps up our review of the results for the second quarter. Thank you for joining us on the quarter-end conference call, and I'll now turn the call back to the operator who will moderate questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts who wish to ask a question, please press star and one on the touchtone phone. You will hear a tone to indicate you're in queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. There will be a brief moment while we poll for questions. The first question today is from Bert Powell with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hey, Cyrus.
Hi, Bert.
Just wanted to touch base on a couple things. One, Max, you've had that for a while. It would seem that probably the cycle's in your favor. I just want to give us a sense of what you're thinking about in terms of maybe using innings as the analog for that business and what you think the opportunities are to continue to grow that, or is that the kind of business where that'd be something you think about recycling capital back into new opportunities?
Look, I think with Max and with most of our businesses, you know, we can hold these businesses for the very long term should we wish to choose to, and if we see a great opportunity to exit, you know, we may make that choice. So we're not constrained in the near term for sure. What I would say about the business, the winds at our back from a U.S. housing perspective. The management team there now over several years after we replaced management has done a terrific job of introducing a variety of new products. We've maintained our number one market share in Canada. We're number four market share in the U.S., and our market share is growing there. Revenue is growing, profitability is growing, cash flow is growing, and they've launched some new, very exciting products recently, and we think we should be able to continue growing the value of this business.
Okay, thanks for that. And just with the construction business, obviously, you know, the UK is a big part, and I hear you in terms of your backlog and the future. But are we at the risk with that business that we go through a period where you work off what's there, and we, you know, the backlog in that market starts to soften, and can you offset that with other markets? Because that's been a core, I think, for the business for a long period of time.
Yeah, you know, it's only in the last few years that the UK became as big a part of the backlog as it is today. That business has gone through a very strong cycle. We were guessing, you know, even before Brexit, that we would see some softening in the medium term in construction activity. Our backlog has continued to grow there, having said that. Today it's about 30% of our total backlog. These projects are going ahead, and we continue to see pretty robust bidding activity. So we haven't seen a big slowdown yet.
Okay, but when you're talking on your pipeline, or talking to folks who would be part of your pipeline or part of your
yeah,
are you getting a sense that people are kind of pulling back? Are they saying, look, you know, we were talking, we want to kind of stand down a little bit here and just see how this plays out?
So I think we've had one project that has been delayed, you know, and otherwise everything's going ahead. And otherwise we're continuing to bid on things. So things are being put out for tender. It may be when push comes to shove and it's time to actually start spending money, people will have second thoughts, but we haven't seen it yet. You know, we're certainly very cognizant of it. That said, we've got, you know, easily 2 years of backlog in the UK to work through.
Just last question on the resources in your business now, Cyrus. As you broaden, I guess, the scope of the mandate for, you know, opportunistic or however you want to describe it, do you feel you have all the people in place to go out and really grow this business, especially if you think about future fundraising prospects? Like, do you have all the human capital in place that you think you need to kind of have the skill sets that you need to execute to grow this at I think your target's 15%.
Yeah, so look, the short answer is yes, and we have today about 50 investment professionals dedicated to our industrials and services business, to Brookfield Business Partners, and they are located in Canada, the U.S., Brazil, U.K., Australia, and India. So in addition to that, we obviously can pull on resources from, you know, the broader Brookfield Asset Management platform as and when needed. So we feel pretty good about where we are. We're continually growing slowly and very selectively, but we're very comfortable with our capital and our desire to put capital to work, manage our businesses, and recycle capital at the right time versus the human resources we have.
That's perfect. Thanks, Cyrus.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. I will now hand the call back over to Mr. Madden for closing comments.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for this first call for our quarterly results for the second quarter, and we look forward to speaking to you next quarter.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.